Parker Ponders, the podcast.
I spent many happy years living in Lausanne in the Swiss Prealps. If you want an idea of the view on my daily walk, just look at an Avion bottle. I have to admit, Swiss weddings were never on my radar before a colleague and I were invited to the nuptials of a secretary I vaguely knew from another office. Hands up, I'm not a great lover of weddings. The stress of organising one is the first true test of a relationship. Don't get me wrong, I love the idea of people getting together to celebrate the joining of a loved one to another and have excitedly planned my outfit for my niece's upcoming broom jumping. The made-to-measure suit stitched together whilst I enjoyed margaritas with my newly introduced travel buddies in Bangkok. But I digress. We discussed earliest possible withdrawal strategies on the drive into the valley, stunningly conquered by Lac Leman, not least because the chances of us knowing anybody were about as remote as Tristan da Cunha. Fun fact, fact fans, if you want to post a Christmas parcel there, your last posting date is the autumnal equinox. Turning off the Lake Geneva shoreline into woodland, our doubts this being the correct route allayed by the sight of a small crowd gathered around the entrance to a large wooden hall, ideally situated among the pine trees that scented the air. Hearing much jollity as we walked from the car, we joined the throng in time to witness several men helping the groom climb into a pair of ski boots. And skis. Well, why not? Sensing one of those events that seemed to happen around me with amusing regularity, I stood agog as the groom was led thusly attired around a cunningly prepared assault course of wooden logs, tight ropes, and several other hazardous impediments scattered around the forest. Other than perhaps safety, Crane Lake Camp's low-level ropes course had nothing on this man-made marvel. Safely returned to the start, the groom removed skis and boots as people filtered into the hall to claim their seats. Brief introductions were made to immediate and opposite neighbours as the first course was served. A giant mushroom vol-au-vent. Fantastic. There's a certain kind of mushroom the Swiss use a lot that has a less than desirable effect on me. I gingerly nibbled at the pastry, gaining a sympathetic offer to take the potential poison off my plate by the stranger opposite, who noticed my fungi avoidance strategy. Whilst the plates were being collected, a man stood and called for lavash. I've since learned that traditional Swiss weddings have an animator to ensure that all are included in the fun and games. And what fun and games! I've witnessed less rib-tickling fun at children's parties. An excited commotion spread from the other end of the hall as a lederhosened man called for the bride to attendez là. With a staff, well, a wooden milking stool in one hand, he led a parade that saw an excited gaggle of children follow him as he wheeled a wooden cow with rubber udders into the large space in the middle of the ring of tables. The crowd hushed, and as the animator explained to much merriment that the true test of a Swiss wife was the fruitful milking of a cow, the bride was strapped into the stool and, after a short bout of wobbling, steadied herself for her first attempt at this virtual bovine undertaking. No sooner had the udder's first expulsion hit the tin bucket than a cheer resounded and the bride was assisted in regaining an upright composure, not to mention some dignity. A few years later, I discovered that dignity is expected to be left at the door at Swiss weddings, guests and all. We resumed our seats for the next course, but to be honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot about the rest of the night. The Swiss drink white wine out of glasses that in reality are little more than an oversized thimble. A mouthwash cap holds more liquid, and it would appear that half-empty thimbles of wine are an insult to the hosts, given that mine was refilled at every single opportunity. I do remember a sense of childlike fun as the games continued between many courses. We left agreeing that it was the best wedding we had ever been to. The pinnacle of my radio audience to date was the 70,000 listeners I accidentally managed to pull in at Radio Prealp in Lausanne. I say accidentally. Our audience should have been the almost 3,000 people that lived in the village, our broadcast area. Unfortunately, our antenna was directly opposite the relay station for National Radio Couloir, nestled in the peaks of Villars across the valley. Our frequencies were close enough that our signal piggybacked theirs across a wide swathe of the country. Oops. I met Sprocket at Prealp, another volunteer braving the uncharted and occasionally choppy waters of 107 FM. Mine was the evening slot, taking over from him at 8 p.m. Monday to Thursday for the month of December. Our handover took place at 7:45, and it was not unknown for me to start our chat with something like, "You're a man of the world. Can you tell me why it is that if two wrongs don't make a right, three rights make a left?" And just look at him. Technically, it's called dead air, and there's a real no-no on radio. And podcasts. I'll never forget the look on his face, lips flapping silently as his brain tried to unscramble under the pressure of a live microphone. Lady C, my last radio wife, once caught me in a similar way, and when the mics were off, said, "Now I know why you do it." Thanks, m'lady. Sprocket's final straw. He was attempting to read his advertising script when, out of sight, I crawled behind him and started wheeling him, or more accurately his chair, away from the live microphone. As the seat gently rolled backwards, he stood, crouching down to finish the text without missing a beat. "I'll get you back," his first words after killing the mic. "Bring it on." Nicole's was my second Swiss nuptials experience, a secretary I became fast friends with. Hindsight being 2020 and all that, I should probably have been a little wary of the fact that Sprocket was the animator, but in all honesty, it was such a fun day, all thoughts of a revenge attack had completely skipped my mind. To be frank, I don't remember most of the evening's fun and games because once again, I was the intended target of Swiss hospitality. Not to mention the drinking game that Sprocket had all guests participating in that involved complications in the form of tokens that you had to try and offload to others. In my defense, Sprocket continually filling my glass did not help my situation, so being the UK Eurovision entry of drinking gamers, I managed to accumulate the largest collection of tokens. Hang on, doesn't that make me the winner? I sensed no foreboding as, wine cork in one hand, hatchet in the other, I was called upon to fulfil my duties as winner of the drinking game, namely the chopping up of the wine cork. Piece of cake. Then he added, "Blindfold with your feet in a tub of water. What could possibly go wrong?" Boots off, I put my socks on the bench beside me as I was blindfolded and carefully handed the chopper. I was instructed to take my first shot. The sound of laughter rang out as Sprocket explained that I'd missed. More merriment occurred as I brought the cleaver down a second time, and as he took hold of my hand to steady it, he explained, "You nearly got through it, apparently removing the cork stuck to the blade." At least that's what he told me, the swine. "Harder," he called as I returned for heaven knows how many further shots at the target, all resulting in jollity and applause from the crowd. Calling a halt, Sprocket told me to remove the blindfold, revealing him standing in front of me, holding a fully intact wine cork. The innocent victim of my chopping exploits? My socks. Obviously not in on the joke, Mrs. Sprocket was scandalized, outraged even, demanding, "Give him your socks." "Thanks, but no thanks, I'll go barefoot, and besides, good one, excellent in fact. I should have heeded your warning. As a badge of honour, I carry what he said by way of justification. Alan's the only person that would take this the right way." Sprocket and his family became the dearest of friends, treating me as one of their own, unknowingly guiding this 30-something adolescent chrysalis on his journey into butterflydom. Switzerland was a fantastic time of my life, filled with many wondrous adventures, not to mention more than a few bumps and bruises I still experience pain from. Every time my knees tweak, it's like a postcard from the past. The truly breathtakingly awesome beauty of the Swiss Alps inspired me to create an activity for kids, highlighting the impact human behaviour can have on our environment involving a battery, a litter pick, a small piece of local chocolate, and a Mad Hatter's hat. It gained me a National Training Award. All will be revealed in the next episode. If you'd like to record your life stories but don't know where to start, my friends at Augur might just have the answer for you. Go to augr.tech to find out more. Use the code ParkerPonders and nice things will happen to loads of people. That's augr.tech.
Parker Ponders, the podcast. Subscribe to hear the next episode or join the listening party on the Culture Show with Angie Joss, 99.8 Shmoo FM or shmoo.shmu.org.uk.